It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Hope everybody's doing well on this Monday evening here in Nashville, Tennessee. Preds Insiders brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit kellyerice.com. Preds with a big win last night, 5-4 against the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll get to that. We'll hear from Darren McFarland in the show as well. Is there concern over UC Soros? We'll get to that topic coming up a little bit later in the show as well. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What a week it was for Tanner Jeannot. He becomes a first-time father, leaves the game basically right before warm-ups in Vegas, has to hop on the plane, get back to Nashville in time for the birth of his son, and then steps out there on Sunday and plays for the Predators against Philly. And how does he do? One goal, two assists, one fight. The Gordie Howe hat trick for Tanner Jeannot. A goal, an assist, and a fight in the game. The Predators win 5-4. Tanner Jeannot with the game winner with a little bit more than a minute left in regulation in the game against Philly. So that's a big win for the Predators. They were down 2-0 in that game. They were down 3-1 in that game, and they find a way to battle back and win. At one point, I think they were out shooting the Flyers 20-5 or somewhere along that line, but the score was not going well for him. So a big response by the Predators, big goal by Jeannot in the third period to get that win. 2 points from Roman Josi last night as well, which puts him at 81 points on the season. He is now 4 points away from Paul Kariya's single season record of 85 points, which he set for the Predators in 05-06. So it looks very, very, very likely that Roman Josi is going to break the all-time single season points record for the Predators. He is on pace for 100 points right now as a defenseman, which is just absolutely absurd. He continues to be just so dynamic defensively, but offensively as well. I mean, the play he made last night on Trenin's first goal of the game, which, by the way, Yakov Trenin, 2 goals last night as well. I mean, Yossi's just hanging on to the puck. He kind of makes the outside move to cut around the net. Nobody can really catch him at that point, and he's just kind of dancing, waiting around for a shooting lane to open up. It finally does, and he puts the puck in a perfect spot. Yakov Trenin is able to redirect it, and the puck goes in. And then on the final goal, Tanner Jeannot is cutting towards the middle of the ice. Great vision by Josi to see him. And the old slap pass from the point, Roman Josi puts it on a tee for Tanner Jeannot, and the rest is history. The Predators walk away with a win. So he just continues to play at an elite, elite level on a nightly basis. And it's one of those things, too, where you watch the way that he plays the game and the vision that he has. It's interesting to watch how that transpires and just how different he looks from everybody else out there playing the game. And we had Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, on with us last week on Robbie and Rex Road. And Todd Richards broke down kind of what he's seeing from Roman Josi right now as he's out there on the ice. Pretty interesting conversation. Here's what Todd Richards had to say about the Predators captain.
It's very impressive, and you know, he doesn't sacrifice his defensive zone or defensive responsibility. He thinks the game and sees the game a lot differently than most players, and I think the elite do. And it doesn't matter what it is. Excuse me if it's going to get a little bit loud here for a second. I'm outside and there's a vehicle coming at me.
But he's not right at you.
No, not right at me. But he's just exceptional. He sees things. There are times during a game, and I'll be like, you know, a play happened on the ice, and I'm going to be like, hey, the next time, he's like, that guy was there, so I should go there. Like he knows it. He sees it. And it's easy for me to sit on a bench and you know, take the iPad and pause it, and show him. You know, because it's the power of pause, you know, but he's doing it while the guys are moving all around and he sees those types of things. So it's really exceptional. It's fun. You know, people always ask me, you know, what's it like to coach? And I just say, you know, I'm a fan, and I got the best seat in the whole building because I get to watch these guys play at a, you know, at a really very close to the action. So it's been fun to watch. You know, he deserves all the credit that he's getting right now because, you know, and the other thing, he cares about the team. He cares about the Nashville Predators, and that's why he's got the captain on his chest.
That was Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the play of Roman Josi, and it truly has been spectacular to watch number 59 do his thing. He continues to dazzle on a nightly basis, now at 81 points on the season, four away from Paul Kariya's single-season franchise record. Yakov Trenin, two goals last night as well, and the Predators get it done 5-4. I just thought it was important last night to get the result. I thought really, you know, from the first period on, they had the better of the chances offensively. They got in the zone, had more zone time. You know, the Predators were doing a lot of things well. They had some breakdowns, which led to chances the other way for Philadelphia. I didn't think UC Saros was at his best last night. We'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later in the show. But just one of those things where, you know, last week went so poorly for you. You get a big win in Anaheim last Monday. You followed up with a 6-1 drubbing against LA on Tuesday where you just looked bad really the whole night. 6-1 against Vegas as well on Thursday. Things had not been going well for the Predators in their last little stretch here, and all of a sudden they found themselves down 2-0 and down 3-1 against the Philadelphia team that's already beaten them once this year, and now a Philadelphia team that doesn't have Claude Giroux or Justin Braun as a part of their roster either. So one of those things where you absolutely needed to win that game last night if you're the Predators, and to be able to come back and get those 2 points I think is big. And now heading into play tonight, you look at the standings. The Predators are in third place in the Central Division. They've got 80 points on the season. They are 4 points behind Minnesota. They're 1 point up on St. Louis right now, albeit St. Louis with two games in hand on the Predators. And the Predators are 4 points clear of Vegas, who they lost to last week. And the Predators have played two fewer games than Vegas has. By the way, I'm sitting around Saturday. I'm watching, you know, all sorts of sports. The NCAA tournament's on, and there's some baseball games on, and I flip over to ABC, and Chicago is playing against Vegas, and I watch a little bit of that game. Chicago's up 3-0 heading into the third period. So if you're a Predators fan, you're watching this happen, you're like, all right, how about the Blackhawks? They're going to go into Vegas and sneak in there and get a victory, and all of a sudden, before you turn around, it's 3-3, and then it's 4-4, and Vegas wins it in overtime by goal by Dadonov, who got traded from Vegas last week, and then the league voided the trade. And he comes back and scores a game winner for the Golden Knights at overtime there. But I say that because you look at the standings right now, and technically heading into play tonight, with some interesting games tonight, you got St. Louis taking on Vancouver, you got L.A. taking on Seattle, Edmonton, and Arizona. So some games of consequence tonight in the Western Conference. But if you look at the standings, Dallas is the odd team out right now with 75 points. They're 1 point back of Vegas. 4 points back of the Blues. But Dallas also has 4 games in hand on Vegas. So Vegas has 68 games played. Dallas has only played in 64. So you're still feeling pretty good if you're the Stars about the spot that you're in. In order to make the play, like just simply in terms of making the playoffs, I'm not talking about first or second wild card or maybe finishing number 3 in the Central, but just in terms of making the playoffs, the team that you're really holding off right now if you're the Predators is Vegas. Like, you're trying to hold them off. Like, St. Louis is going to get in the playoffs, I think, barring some collapse. You know, Dallas is still in a pretty good spot. They've got 4 games in hand on Vegas with, you know, 1 point separating those two at the moment. So you're feeling good about that. Like, if you're the Predators and you can continue to create distance between yourself and Vegas with you having 2 games in hand on them, that's really the team that you're trying to hold off right now in terms of that last playoff spot. So that's a big win for the Predators to get that done. And then we'll get a little bit more into the opportunity that they got this week here in you know, a few minutes. But Ottawa and Buffalo on the schedule this week, you need to be able to take advantage of those points if you're the Predators. So John Hines talked yesterday about, you know, it wasn't necessarily a must-win game for the Predators, but it was more of a must-return to your identity and the style of hockey that you want to play. So I thought the Predators, for the most part, did a pretty good job of that. Matt Benning back in the lineup yesterday for the Predators as well. It was kind of a rough return to the lineup for Matt Benning. He was a -3 I don't pay a whole lot of attention to plus minus in the NHL, but was not great for Matt Benning in his return to the lineup yesterday. Jeremy Davies called up on Saturday. He plays for the Predators yesterday as well on a pairing with Benning. He finishes with 10 minutes on the night, so not much action for Jeremy Davies. I didn't think it went overly well for him either while he was in there. Matt Benning, kind of a tough return to the lineup. We'll see if that's just more of kind of the case of easing your way back in there and then having some struggles along the way or what exactly was going on there. But they are getting some guys a little bit healthier. Jeremy Lauzon, who they acquired at the trade deadline, is a guy that has basically been in the top four since he's come into the lineup with the Predators based on other injuries that they've had at those positions. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that breaks down when guys get healthier. Like when Mark Borowiecki's back in there, when Dante Fabro's back in there, what do their defense pairings look like? Who's in? Who's out? Does the fact that Jeremy Lauzon can play on the left or the right, does that factor in? If everybody's healthy, is it as simple as Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning are going to be the third pairing and you put Fabro back up with Yossi and you just roll until somebody gets hurt? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see the way that John Hines and the Predators handle that when that comes around. Coming up next, we'll hear a little bit from Darren McFarland on the game last night for the Predators and what his thoughts are on the UC Soros situation as well. UC Soros has given up 3 goals or more in 6 of his past 7 starts. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley here, as always, as your host. Man, it's been quite the day on social media and on Twitter. The Will Smith, Chris Rock stuff all over the place. The memes, the GIFs, the responses, the arguments. A lot of talk about Will Smith and Chris Rock today. What a moment last night at the Oscars. Got done watching the Preds game, and then that was all over Twitter. It was quite the Sunday night at the Stanley household, just watching all of this unfold. But that's neither here nor there. Big win for the Predators last night against the Philadelphia Flyers. We had Darren McFarland on this morning on Robbie and Rexro to discuss what this win could mean for the Predators, including a goal from a guy last night that's really been struggling as of late, finds the back of the net. Could this be maybe a spark for Luke Cunningham as he moves forward here? We got to that and a whole lot more, including struggles with UC Soros with Darren McFarland earlier this morning on Robbie and Rexroad. Here's what Darren had to say this morning on Robbie and Rexroad. So, Darren, memorable night for the Predators as well for Tanner Janot. 1 goal, 2 assists, the Gordie Howe hat trick for Janot, fresh off a newborn baby and his family as well. What did you think of his performance? What did you think of that win last night for the Predators, 5-4 against Philly?
Had to have been the longest plane ride ever coming home Thursday night. You get the tailwinds. It's probably, a 3.5-hour flight? But not knowing if you're going to make it, you know, or just the anticipation, even if you know you're going to make it, and just the anticipation for the first one, you know, it was pretty cool. Obviously, he made it in time. And congratulations to Tanner and his wife, Keely, and their newborn, their son, Jace. And we've seen it all too many times. I mean, one, we've seen the locker room since the Stanley Cup run grow. There's been a lot of new – I talked about this with Colton. I was like, Colton, you've seen a lot of additions to families since the Stanley Cup run. And he laughed. And I was like, you've also seen Dad go out there and have a big game after, you know, a newborn comes in, after there's been an addition to the family. And so add Tanner Janot to that list, goes out with the Gordie Howe hat trick, and boy, was that not a heavyweight fight or what? Those were two big boys. I think Will Smith played Muhammad Ali. That was a heavyweight fight last night between, was it Hudson and Janot? Holy cow. If I was a ref, I would not have jumped in between those two. I would have waited till they hit the ice.
No doubt, yeah. And we were saying earlier, maybe the timing, you hope a guy's tired because he just had a newborn, so maybe you have a little bit of – other than that, I would not advise anyone to get in the ring with Janot. But
and when are people going to stop fighting him, Joe? I mean
– good question.
You know? Like, it's not – he's not a surprise anymore.
Not at all. Okay, here's a segue. What is a little bit surprising to me lately,
nicely done,
is UC Soros. What's the fair concern level with him at this point?
Well, look, it's kind of like anything when it comes to an 82-game season. I think the pace he was on, have goalies been able to sustain that for an entire season? Yes, but here's also a guy that is not getting much of a rest. He's not getting much of a break. David Rittich is not playing much, and I get it. That is a goaltender's mentality, especially the number one. Pekka certainly had that mentality, and a lot of the greats in the game, they don't want to take a night off. And, oh, by the way, when he does take a night off, he's pretty damn good. He's undefeated when he comes back after a game off. I just think, Joe, to me, it's a fair question, but I just think the level he was playing was probably not sustainable, even though we all believe that UC Saros is up there at the top of the league, is one of the best goaltenders in the league. I just think, we talk about players going through patches. I just think maybe he's going through a little of a patch. Has he looked incredibly sharp over the last week, week and a half? I think we all know the answer to that. They have not been particularly good on the road. Their starts have been awful on the road, going all the way back to the first meeting with Philadelphia a week and a half ago. I mean, the first periods have just not been – I mean, John Hines, I can't imagine what, his mood after first periods on these road games. They just – well, in the first period last night, they've got to get off to better starts. He hasn't been as sharp as in saving their bacon all the time. But I would also say they've sustained a lot of injuries with the blue liners, and let's just say the play in front hasn't exactly been great either. Too many turnovers, too sloppy with the puck.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. How big was that for Luke Cunnan last night to see one find the back of the net? I mean, obviously it's been a struggle for him as of late offensively. Great sequence by Granlund there. First off, his pass on Trennan's goal was ridiculous. And then finds Luke Cunnan in the slot there. How big do you think that could be for number 11 to maybe get rolling a little bit offensively?
Well, I think anything, he'll take anything right now. And certainly a goal. I mean, what has it been? I don't even know. Was it been like 20 games or something since the last time he had a goal? I don't know how long it's been since Cunnan said a goal. Probably not that long, but it feels like that, and probably feels like that to him. There's no doubt they needed to get that line going, and that line had a good night last night. By the way, the Granlund pass up and over to Trennan on the back door, whew, nice. By the way, there's a whole lot of good that has to happen to make that whole sequence work. It's not just the pass. I mean, there's a whole – Granlund gets a lot of the credit, but, Trennan also has to finish that. And that is not an easy play at all. Oh, by the way, going full speed too, So great play there. But, yeah, I mean, kind of need that. The second line, look, still needs to keep things going. It's been lacking. We know the top line has been producing. The third line has been producing night in and night out. And, heck, it depends on the game. The fourth line certainly hasn't been afraid to chip in with some points as well. And so they've got to keep it going. They need production from the second line. And I know we've had that talk enough over the years. And so – I think Cunnan, and we've seen it, sometimes it just takes something like that to get a guy going. Obviously, he had the fight, too, last night. Maybe this is him kind of turning the corner and maybe finishing strong. And, look, if you finish strong, nobody remembers the stuff before, right? That's all that matters. So we'll just see how these final, they have 15 games left. See how these 15 games play out, and we'll see if Cunnan can maybe get on a roll. They need it. This is going to be tight, boys. This is going to be tight the rest of the way.
Yeah,
not gonna be easy.
Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Big goal last night for Luke Cunnan. First off, I thought Mikhail Granlund was awesome last night. If you've not seen his assist on Trennan's goal, go check it out. Trennan's second goal of the game. Nice backhand sauce pass from Mikhail Granlund on that play, and then he kind of headmans the puck, in the next sequence there, and turns around at the blue line. Nice spin pass to Cunnan in the slot. Cunnan gets the shot off. Cunnan gets the rebound as well and scores a goal. He's been struggling as of late. He went over 20 games with like one goal in 21 games or whatever it was. It was an amazing streak for Luke Cunnan. And maybe last night that goal could kind of springboard him as they move forward here. We've talked about it. Like if Johansson's going to play with Forsberg and Duchesne, you've got to find a way to get more scoring throughout the lineup, particularly with that second line. And I thought Granlund was awesome last night. Cunnan gets the goal as well. Tolvanen has been scoring with a little bit more regularity as of late, although there's still another level that I think he needs to get to.
But maybe that's something where, you know, it could springboard you a little bit if you're Luke Kunin with that goal last night. They certainly need it to. Like, I mean, you know, Forsberg scores again last night, his 37th of the year. You feel good about him, obviously, as you move forward here. Matt Duchene, you're feeling good about the way he's playing. I think even Granlund, when he doesn't have Forsberg and Duchene, like, you know what Granlund's going to bring to the table on a nightly basis. But if they could have another guy or two that step up, particularly on that second line, and start putting some in the back of the net, that could be a real problem for other teams coming down the stretch. Janot's got 22 goals. Yakov Trenin is at 17 right now. Like, as far as third lines go, that's about as good as it gets. Like, offensively, Trenin and Janot, they're playing really well right now. And Sissons does all the little things on that line that I think sometimes go way too underappreciated. He's been really, really good this year too, I think. So, you know, there's a lot to like about this lineup right now. It's that second line scoring, which they did not really address at the trade deadline, kind of opting to keep what they have and see what takes place there. If, you know, Kunin could get hot coming down the stretch, because I thought in the playoffs last year and really heading into the playoffs, he had found his game. You know, he came back from injury and the team had started to turn things around. And, you know, I remember John Hines throwing it out there that he basically had a conversation with Luke Kunin that was like, hey, man, you're going to have to start playing the way that we're asking you to play if you want to be in the lineup. Like, that's basically what happened. And, you know, I've been very consistent about that, about this. We've talked about this on Preds Insiders. I've talked about it on Robbie and Rex Road as well. Like, I do not consider Luke Kunin to be a top six forward. I don't think he ever has been. I don't think he really ever will be. But I think he's a really, really good third line type player. And I get it, on this team, your third line is about as good as it gets around the NHL. You got a really good third line that you feel great about. So you're not going to want to mess with that. And I understand that. And they've tried to break it up. They've tried to move Janot up and put him with Granlund. And it's not really worked. They've moved Janot up and put him with Johansson. And it's worked to kind of varying degrees of success. But what happens when you do that is the effectiveness of the herd line, the beast line, whatever you want to call it, with Sissons, Trenin, and Janot, it's not the same without one of those three guys on there. So I don't know where you put Luke Kunin if he doesn't produce as they move forward here. Do you move him down to the fourth and put Tomasino up? That could be an option, but a big goal nonetheless for Luke Kunin last night. And maybe, just maybe, that could be something that offensively propels him a little bit forward here as the Predators continue to come down the stretch. They're going to need it. Maybe Tomasino gets hot down the stretch, but, you know, you're 15 games left in the regular season. This is crunch time, and you need all your players to be clicking on all cylinders as you head into the playoffs. We touched on it a little bit with Darren in this last segment, but speaking of not clicking on all cylinders, what do we think of the way that UC Saros has played as of late? How much of his struggles, at least number-wise, has been him, and how much of it has been the defense around him as well? We'll discuss that coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Robbie Stanley here with you, as always, on this Monday evening in Nashville, Tennessee. The Preds, big win last night, 5-4 against Philadelphia. They take on Ottawa coming up tomorrow night. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Then they will travel to take on the Buffalo Sabres on Friday, before a big week next week as Minnesota comes back a week from tomorrow on Tuesday to take on the Predators at home at Bridgestone Arena. So, by the way, looking at the schedule, 5 consecutive Tuesday night home games for the Predators to close out the regular season here. So, going to be a busy night on Tuesday nights at Bridgestone Arena. As always, keep it locked into Preds Insiders every Monday night at 6 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll keep you updated on the latest information on the Nashville Predators. We had an interesting discussion this morning on Robbie and Rex Road regarding the play of UC Saros. He's got an .889 save percentage over the course of his last 7 starts. He's given up 3 goals or more in 6 of those 7 starts. Are you worried about the way that UC Saros is playing? How much of it is him? How much of it could be the defense around him? We got into that this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, among other things. Here was that conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. As Darren pointed out in the last segment, going to be a fight coming down the stretch for the Predators. A big opportunity this week. You've got Ottawa coming in tomorrow and then going on the road to Buffalo on Friday. So two teams in the East. Ottawa is 23-36-6 on the year. Buffalo is 23-33 and 10. So two teams that you should beat this week. Really, to me, not much excuse for losing either one of those games. We see it happen all the time in the NHL, though, so we'll see if the Predators can take advantage of that. An opportunity, though, after last week did not go how you wanted it to go out west, this is a chance to collect some points this week if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is going to get, obviously, more. I mean, it can't not get more difficult, you know, from here. But you think about those three games out of four that you're playing, you know, mixed in with a huge one, of course, against Minnesota at home next Tuesday. Then you got a lot of, you know, then you go into, you know, you got Florida and you got to go to Pittsburgh. You got Calgary twice, another Minnesota. And there's a lot of tough games in the April schedule. So it's going to be very challenging. You're at Tampa Bay, by the way. I mean, there aren't many gimmies left. So, yeah, get those 4 points. Get the two at Buffalo after, you know, some extra time again to rest, because then it really is. I guess there's 3 days in between that one, and then it's like either every other day or you got three back-to-backs coming up in April. So it's all the time and a lot of good teams on the schedule after that.
So the Preds get the win last night, which obviously is the most important thing. It was kind of a rough one for Saros yesterday against Philadelphia. Gives up 4 goals. At one point, he'd given up 3 goals on 5 shots in that game. And this is now 6 of the past 7 starts for UC Saros where he's given up 3 goals or more. He's got an .889 save percentage during that stretch as well. So we talked about this earlier, and Darren pointed this out. I mean, there are a lot of things that happen when it comes to a goaltender, and if he's playing really well, a lot of times that means the defenders in front of him are playing really well. And when he's not playing well, a lot of times that means the defenders in front of him are not playing well either. So I get that. I recognize that. I also think, like, especially around here with the quality of goaltending that the Predators have had for basically their entire franchise, like, sometimes we just don't criticize the goalie, and I don't fall into that. Like, I don't think Saros is playing very well right now, and I think he's got to be better. And I will say, I mean, I'm concerned right now with the way that he's playing. .889 save percentage in his last 7 starts. If this is the way he's playing coming down the stretch, you might make the playoffs. You're not doing anything in the playoffs if he plays this way. I think he can bounce back and get out of it just based on the way that he's played throughout his career. But this is not a good stretch right now for Saros, albeit the defense and the injuries that they've sustained, particularly on the back end. I recognize that that's not helping at the moment.
Yeah, look, part of the assumption, I think, for this team doing anything is that he's great.
Yeah.
Is there really a way for this team, as constructed, to do anything in a postseason without him being great? Hard to imagine. Anything's possible. Sports are unpredictable. We just saw St. Peter's get to the Elite Eight. But he's going to have to be way better than this in the postseason. And he has been way better than this for the most part, for the better part of the last 2 seasons. So that's I agree with Darren. You know, I think Darren's like, hey, you know, you're going to have ups and downs in a season, no doubt about it. But yeah, to look at this recent stretch and put it all on everybody else is not, I don't think, is accurate. And you mentioned earlier the goals above expected, which for the most part, he has been at the top or very near the top of the league for long stretches in that. A stat, which I find a lot of value in that stat, and it's not good there either. So it's not just, you know, oh, it's all screenshots and just terrible defense. I mean, there are some pucks that are getting past him that normally don't get past him.
Yeah, I mean, and last night it looked like he was having some trouble picking up the puck too, which when he's on, I mean, his vision is right up there with anybody in the league. So, look, I think he'll get out of it, but they need him to get out of it quick. Like, this is an opportunity this week for him to get out of it. And you know, I heard from some people last night on Twitter, like, just sit him down for this week, get him rested, have Riddick in there against Ottawa and Buffalo. Like, I hear you. It's not the worst idea, but that's a dangerous game to play when you start to look at your opponent and say, oh yeah, we'll just throw the backup goalie in there for this game.
Well, and if you did that, rest is good, but if you did that, then Saros would be going 9 days.
That's too much.
You don't want that much.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is our... I mean, it's probably a timely break here that they get this break before playing Friday at Buffalo.
Now, would I be surprised?
That's plenty.
Like, if they went Riddick tomorrow against Ottawa, would I be shocked by that? Probably not. I don't think I would expect that at this point. But You're talking getting a break from Sunday to Friday. I don't know that that would be the worst thing for Soros, but my guess would be Soros would be back in
tomorrow. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 3 days, not 5 days. My bad. They play Ottawa twice here coming up.
Right.
So they've got Ottawa, you know, I mean, of the next four games, they three of the next four are you got to get those 6 points. And if you get those 6 points, the Minnesota game, well, it's still big. I mean, regardless, the Minnesota game is big, but you got gimme points that are coming up that are gone on the schedule from then on.
Well, you got to take advantage of them. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland texting in says, at this point in the season, I think we're past the point where we're figuring out who this team is. We know exactly who they are. Very gritty. They don't quit. They execute well on offense, but also give up a ton of scoring chances. We just aren't as good defensively as we have been in previous seasons. It doesn't mean they suck. Just means they aren't as good. We also don't have a 6'5 goaltender getting beaten over his blocker. Our goalie is very good, but he's also short and not perfect. I still expect nice things in the playoffs. I think people make way too much of the getting beat over the blocker stuff. Like, does Soros get beat up top? Yes, he does. Every goalie in the league gets beat up top. Like, there's not a goalie in the league where teams aren't trying to lift the puck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, now, obviously,
is he more susceptible? Maybe. But his athleticism makes up for a lot.
Yeah. I mean, teams value size at that position.
Sure.
But he does some other things laterally that 6'5 guys can't do. So, overall, you're going to take what he's given you. If that's, you know, if you can have that for an extended period, you're happy with that as your starting goaltender.
Roman Josi, 2 assists last night, now at 81 points on the season. He is 4 away from the single season record of 85 for Paul Kariya. So it looks like he could pass. I mean, he could pass that against Ottawa, I guess. If he had a 5-point night, he could at least tie it. We've seen a few 4-pointers from Roman Josi this year, but I would not be surprised if by this time next week we are talking about a single season franchise record for points with Roman Josi.
Yep, and he's still well on pace for that 100.
Yep.
Is he making progress in the Norris, in the minds of the Norris voters?
I hope so. Although Cale Makar, I mean, just keeps scoring goals left and right too. So he's up to like 24 goals now.
So, pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Mike from Montana texting in says, "What is the ceiling for this Preds team?" This is coming from Mike from Montana on the text line. Joe, what do you think the ceiling is for this Preds group?
Well, again, Montreal, there's not a single soul in the world who follows hockey who would have answered that question about the Canadiens. Oh, the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Not a soul. I mean, you find me Canadian Cal, you know, up in the head of Canadians Twitter, okay, would have laughed at someone saying that. So it's just what the sport is. I mean, if you can get into the playoffs and you have a goalie who can get on the roles that Soros can get on, then you can make a run. So,
sure.
Do I expect that? No. I don't expect a deep run from this team, but it's not a non-starter. Not in this sport, not in that tournament.
Especially with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene,
yeah,
and Roman Josi playing the way that they played all year. Like, I mean, they're playing at the level and they have been all year where if they play that way in the playoffs, you could steal a series with that and goaltending. Like, it just, you feel totally different about the offensive part of it. I mean, they're top 10 in the NHL in scoring right now. You feel totally different about the offensive part of it, the power play part of it more than anything, than you did heading in the playoffs any time in recent memory.
Yeah, the power play is lethal. And, you know, Darren was talking about Luke Cunnan. You know, what if you can get a guy like that going? You've got Trennan going right now. You got Janot. I mean, you've got some answers here if you play a disciplined, smart game, which at times lately has eluded them.
So that was our discussion this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And, look, it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch here. I mean, if you're the Predators and John Hines, you're looking at the schedule right now and you've got some breathing room this week. You got Ottawa coming in tomorrow, and then basically a 2-day break where you've got nothing. Then Friday you take on Buffalo, and then another 3-day break, and Minnesota comes in. So the physical part of the schedule right now, I think, is pretty manageable for John Hines and the Predators. And then it ramps up after that with basically playing every other day, and in some cases back-to-backs coming down the stretch here for the Predators. So, you know, I do think maybe wearing UC Soros into the ground and him playing too much is a concern, and that's something that you've got to be mindful of if you're John Hines and the Predators. But you know, I think there's a little bit more to it than just the physical part of it right now. He just seems to be kind of fighting the puck a little bit, not picking up the puck quite as well. And look, I fully, as we talked about, I admit that the defensive play has not been great in front of Juuse Saros as of late. And really, more importantly than that, sometimes the puck management in front of him has been awful. I mean, some of the turnovers that they had in L.A. and Vegas were bad. So, and I know that David Rittich was in net for the L.A. game, but the Vegas game, they had some bad turnovers in that game that led to, you know, chances going the other way for the Golden Knights. But I think everybody would agree, and I think Juuse Saros would agree, he is not at the top of his game right now. So the question is, how quickly can he get back to that? How much can, you know, the Predators survive him getting through that right now? And can he figure that out as soon as tomorrow? Like, if Juuse Saros is in net tomorrow against Ottawa, can he kind of bounce out of that and get back to playing like the Juuse Saros we know? Because as Joe pointed out, like, if this team is going to do anything coming down the stretch, and if they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs, I mean, heck, they're going to get to the playoffs, they're going to need Juuse Saros to be very good. They're going to need him to be operating at a high level, close to his best. And if you're going to make any sort of run in the playoffs, he's probably going to have to steal a game or two in a series for you along the way. So they need number 74 to be at his best, and I have confidence that eventually he will be. I think we've seen too much of Juuse Saros at this point, and too much body of evidence suggests that he's a really darn good goalie for me to believe that all of a sudden this is going to be some stretch that he just struggles through throughout the rest of this regular season. So we'll wait and see what happens on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 1025 The Game. We talked earlier in the show about Roman Josi and the incredible year that he's having. 81 points so far, 4 points away from the franchise record of 85 set by Paul Kariya. How does he stack up in the Norris race right now for the Norris Trophy? Obviously, Josi won that award a couple of seasons ago as the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, making a strong push for it yet again this year. And really, to me, like, I think the race comes down to two guys. I know that Victor Hedman is always in the conversation. I know that Adam Fox from New York, certainly a worthy, you know, contender of the Norris Trophy as well. He won it last season. But to me, it's all about Cale Makar and Roman Josi. And, you know, I think far too often this award has basically turned into, all right, which defenseman has put up the most points if you're an offensive-type defenseman? Which, by the way, if that's the way it's voted on this year, if you're Roman Josi, you're lacking your chances at this point. But it should be so much more than that. It's supposed to be about the best all-around defenseman. And the thing that really stands out to me about Makar and Josi and Hedman and Fox and all these guys is they can play in their own zone. Roman Josi, he's getting a lot of attention and accolades for his offensive play right now. Deservedly so, he should. But he's also been pretty darn good in the defensive zone as well. Let's just go strictly by the numbers offensively. So Roman Josi, we've talked about it, 81 points, and is 4 points away at this point from the franchise record. He's got 81 points, 64 games, 18 goals, 63 assists, which is just absurd, the amount of assists that Roman Josi has put up. Cale Makar, 24 goals, so significant amount of goals more than Josi, 49 assists, 73 points, in 62 games for the Avalanche. So if you watch both of these guys play, like Cale Makar and Roman Josi both, they do things on pretty much a nightly basis that wow you. Like, I've been consistent about this on Robbie and Rex Road, and I talked about this a lot when Derrick Henry was back and playing healthy for the Titans. Like, don't take this for granted. And this was pre-injury for Derrick Henry, but I was like, don't take this for granted, because what we're watching Derrick Henry do is not normal. I have the same opinion about Roman Josi. Like, I go back to the first goal of the game last night for the Predators. Yossi's got the puck. He's coming in the zone. He could go try to cut to the net if he wants to. He cuts it wide, takes it behind the net, and basically just buys as much time as he can for a shooting lane to open up, puts a shot on goal, Trennan tips it, it's in the back of the net, the Predators are back in the game. Like, Josi does so many little things, as Todd Richards was talking about earlier in the show on that clip we played. He does so many little things that I think go unnoticed that are just so good and so difficult to do. And he does it on a nightly basis. So I hope if you're a Predators fan, if you're a hockey fan, heck, if you're just a sports fan out there and you're a casual fan, and maybe this is the time of the year where you start to pay attention to the Predators and really tune in to what you're seeing out there, I hope you enjoy what Roman Josi is doing on a nightly basis, because it is not normal. It is incredible what he is able to do out there. And look, I don't know if Roman Josi is going to win the Norris Trophy this year. If I had a vote and I was forced to vote right now, I'd give it to Josi. And I know that I am here in Nashville and I watch Josi play every night, and maybe that influences my opinion more than it should. I don't know. I watch Cale Makar a lot too, and he's pretty darn good. So, like, if Cale Makar ends up winning the Norris Trophy, I'm not going to sit here and act like this is some crime against humanity or anything. Like, I thought Shea Weber got absolutely robbed over the Norris Trophy. You can make an argument he got robbed twice, at least once, when Lidstrom won it over him, and then Erik Karlsson won one of his Norris Trophies over Shea Weber as well. Like, the fact that Shea Weber during that time never won a Norris Trophy, to me, is absurd, because he absolutely deserved it a few years. Roman Josi's already got one. I think he's played significantly better this year than the year where he won the Norris Trophy, and he's pretty darn good the year he won the Norris Trophy. So I don't know if he's going to win or not, but I hope you can appreciate what you're watching, because he has been special on a nightly basis. I'm talking game in, game out. You pretty much know what you're going to get from Roman Josi, and he is playing at an elite level. Like, I watched Cale Makar play. He's great. Like, they do things slightly differently. I mean, the edge work and the skating that both of them have is ridiculous. Makar, I think, is a little bit more explosive with his skating. Certainly, he can score goals with the best of them in this league as far as defensemen are concerned. He just broke the Avalanche record for goals in a season by a defenseman the other night. So he's playing really, really well. And the other part of this that I'm going to be interested to see, at least in terms of the voting, how does it factor in? Colorado is the number one team, and they have been the number one team in the Western Conference basically all season long. Does that factor in at all? I don't know. Some people think it should. Some people think it shouldn't. My question is, though, can you imagine where the Predators would be without Roman Josi? I think you can make an argument, and they were talking about this last week on the NHL Network, that Roman Josi should be in the Hart Trophy discussion for league MVP. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Now, would I put him as the favorite to win the Hart Trophy? Probably not. I mean, you've got guys like, you know, Ovechkin and Matthews and McDavid and Draisaitl, all these different guys out there. Jonathan Huberdeau this year is having an unbelievable year for the Panthers. So there's a lot of different ways you could go with Hart Trophy, and I don't know that Roman Josi would be a favorite for that. I think you could at least put him in the discussion. Like, just think about where this Predators team would be. As good as Philip Forsberg has been and Matt Duchene have been this year, and both of them have been phenomenal, so I'm not taking anything away from them, but as good as those two guys have been, just imagine where this team would be without Roman Josi. I mean, 63 assists is ridiculous. Like, he's got an absurd amount of assists. He set a career high in goals already with 18. He's probably going to finish around somewhere in the mid to high 90s, maybe even breaking triple digits of points. Like, that is, you're talking about numbers that have not been put up since the early 1990s, when the sport was different. Like, it was just a different game back then. I mean, defensemen putting up 100 points in the 80s and in early 90s, it happened. Like, it doesn't happen anymore in today's NHL. What Roman Josi is doing has been spectacular. We are witnessing one of the all-time great seasons from an NHL defenseman. And I don't know whether or not he's going to get rewarded with a Norris Trophy, but when you start putting together seasons like this, you can forget, like, the Norris Trophy part of it. Like, when Josi puts together a season like this, and then factoring in that he's already won a Norris and he's been an elite defenseman for a long time, like, my mind starts to kind of shift towards, all right, is he a Hall of Fame? Like, when everything's said and done, and he's still got a lot of hockey left to be played and a lot of things left to be accomplished potentially for Roman Josi, but when everything is said and done, could he be a Hall of Fame player? I think there's a chance that he could. You start stacking a couple seasons like this one together, there's no question that I think he will be. But it is absurd what he's doing right now, and Roman Josi is one of the most electrifying players in the NHL to watch. He's been the leading scorer in the NHL throughout the month of March and has had probably the best month a Predators player has ever had this month. And I know that's a bold statement. There's been Shea Weber. There's been Philip Forsberg. There's been Pekka-Rinne, UC Saros. I think this has been the greatest month of hockey we have ever seen out of the history of a Nashville Predator, and probably the greatest season that we've ever seen in the history of the Nashville Predators as well. So we'll see how far that can carry the Predators and what that ultimately could mean for Roman Josi when it comes to some postseason hardware. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Make sure you check out the Preds and the Senators tomorrow. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we'll catch you next Monday night at 6 for another edition of Preds Insiders. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.